Lance. I serve as the lead pastor. As you can see, we're beginning a new series today. We're going to jump in that here in a moment. But first off, I just want to remind all of those who signed up for Starting Point. It starts today at 2 p.m. 2 p.m. back in our Go Kids Children's Ministry. So if you signed up for that, we'll see you here at 2 p.m. Our multi-purpose room, Go Kids. You can drop your children off as well. If you are just attending today, you have not had a chance to attend Starting Point. Our next one begins in the first Sunday of, of November. The first Sunday of November. And Starting Point really is a great way to find out all there is to know about Bethel Community Church. Also, guys, with this new series that we have starting today, we're going to be building up to something that's called Victory Weekend. A lot of you guys here have been a part of Victory Weekend. Victory Weekend really is an opportunity or a chance for you really to get set free from that which you find yourself bound by. All of us have things that we're battling through, things that we're facing, and God wants you and I to walk in victory. It's coming up on October the 26th and October the 27th. I'm going to bring up my man, KG. KG, come on up here. Give KG a big hand clap. Vince, let me see that microphone, champ. I want KG, thank you, Pastor Richard. I want KG really to give really a testimony or tell his story of really how Victory Weekend has impacted his life. He did this yesterday in one of our community groups called Be Men, and it really encouraged the men, and we thought it would encourage you as well to take this step. Go ahead, KG. Walk up here, champ, so everybody can see you. You way back there in the back. You're too good looking. There you go.
All right. God bless you guys. So just a little bit of what's going on. I'm going to go back a month before the day came to go to Victory Weekend back in 2016. For many of you, I don't know if you're in the medical field or not, but I went through a scenario called septic shock. A septic shock event. I'm sorry, I get emotional. It's when a person has got extreme high fever, low blood pressure, and their heart rate is way up in the 150s or higher. It came on me and I didn't know what was going on, so I rushed to the hospital, Tenova, and immediately they put two IVs on me, spent two nights in ICU, and five more days on the regular floor. So a whole week there, and they said it was a 50-50 chance of survivability. So little did my wife and I knew that there was a purpose for that.
Yeah, good. Good, KG.
So I praise God that he gave me an opportunity to continue in this life. And a month later to the date, my wife and I decided to go to Victory Weekend. It was over at the Kentucky Penny Rail Park, something like that. And we went just to say, let's get out of here. Let's go over there. And because we always try to invest in our marriage. We went not really expecting a whole lot, but it's a good opportunity to go and have a one-on-one sort of session, because they have like these couples come to us. In that case, it was I call him Dr. V. So Dr. V and his lovely wife, she was with my wife and I was with him, and we opened up. So things happen, and something that I was exposed to when I was a child, probably 12, 13 years old. And I was suffering from that for over 30 years, off and on. A lot of guys go through this. As a matter of fact, about 60 to 70% of the men in church suffer from this.
Wow, good.
So the time came, I had to tell my wife what I've been going through. Even though it was only once or twice a year or whatever it was still not a good thing to do. It was shameful. And I was not, obviously, honoring my wife or God. And she closed on me and kind of didn't want to be approached, didn't want to be talked to. So, of course, I asked Pastor Richard, I'm stuck, man, what do I do? He said, just keep praying. Give her space, she'll come around. Thankfully, she did. We started going to what we didn't call B-Man of Clarksville, but it was something like, and we're all at the mansion of Dr. V in his own movie theater, watching the Conquer series. And at the end, we all, the group that was there, we all linked up and had like a closed out dinner slash signing a, like a diploma, so to say, to be faithful and do not fall back to that.
Yeah, yeah.
And we all hold ourselves accountable. And thankfully, to the glory of God, I have not fall back. Been over 2 years free of that. It's a great feeling. So that victory weekend turned into a victory marriage, turned
Come on,
into
champ.
A victory Woo! Of a lifetime. So please, it was a lot more money to go to Kentucky. It's hardly nothing to come here and
That's
do it
right.
here.
Good.
So
Good.
I encourage each and every one of you. There's no reason not to come. It's right here. There's going to be a little bit of food and a whole lot of stuff that you could bring into your life. You could use it daily and conquer whatever is
Great,
conquering
KG.
You.
Tremendous.
God bless you.
Tremendous, KG. We can say amen and go home, can't we, after that? Now you got to hear me. Sorry about that, KG. Tremendous. You set the bar high, my friend. I encourage you, sign up for Victory Weekend. I'm telling you, man, it's only going to be $15. You can go right out to the table in the hallway and get signed up for that. You know, guys, today we're going to be in the book of Psalms. If you want to turn to Psalm chapter 3, great job, KG. Tremendous, my friend. Psalm chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 8, and then we're going to flip over to Genesis 18. We are going to start this new series today entitled Ghost Stories, and we're really going to see what that's about as we walk through this message. Psalm chapter 3, I'm telling you, today's message is going to be relevant and engaging to every single one of us today. We're all going to get something from this message because all of us are haunted by something. It could be something from the past. It could be something we're going through emotionally. And we're going to see that there's freedom in Jesus today. That we don't have to be haunted. That we don't have to be sleepless. That we can actually rest in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Psalm chapter 3. Here we have this man named David. We're going to focus on King David. David is running for his life. David is scared. David is going through what we call, or what the Bible calls, he's possessing a spirit of fear because he's so afraid of what's about to happen. His son, Absalom, is actually chasing him. And here's what he writes. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Might have heard that before. But you, O Lord, or a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and He answered me from His holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke again. Why? For the Lord sustained me. Woo. I will not be afraid, or I will not fear, of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all of my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. God has a nasty punch. Salvation belongs to the Lord, your blessing beyond your people. Genesis chapter 15, just one verse, it ties right along with Psalm 3. This is to this guy named Abram who would become Abraham. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in vision. Here's what God said. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Woo! Last night, I got the wonderful privilege of attending a conference that was hosted here by one of the ministries that we have partnered with here at Bethel. That ministry is called Reboot Combat Recovery. And really what I learned last night as I was at this conference is I learned an amazing stat. And this stat is simply this, that there's only 6% of Americans Only 6% of America believe that things can get better. That's a low percentage of people. Only 6% of our nation believe that things can actually get better. When you watch television or you're looking at social media, all you see is negative things. Negative things about our world. And those things that we see, those things that we hear, oftentimes cause us to wonder ourselves. Are we a part of that 6%? Are things really ever going to get any better? It causes us to wonder about our future. The future of our jobs, the future of our relationships. I don't know about you, as a parent of five, I wonder about the future of my children. You hear about the debt that our nation is in. And it causes you to wonder, is my children or my grandchildren, are they going to be okay? Things like this, things that we hear, things that we see, what that does is it pushes to the surface all kinds of different emotions and feelings. Feelings like uncertainty begins to arise. Hopelessness begins to arise. Frustration, anxiety, and especially what we're going to focus on this morning, fear oftentimes begins to arise on the inside of us. And these emotions or these feelings, what they do is they have the ability to haunt you and I, to try and scare us. You know, we've entitled this series Ghost Stories. For me, personally, I do not believe that we can be haunted by a physical ghost. You may believe that, and that's all right. I necessarily don't believe that. In fact, I hate things that are scary. I don't watch scary movies. I hate scary movies. I hated them as a kid, and I still hate them today as a 40-year-old man. They scare me. Freddy the Krueger, all that stuff. I ain't watching it. It's too scary. Because I hate scary movies, I also hate haunted houses. I remember the first haunted house I ever went to. Man, I don't know how I made it out. I was afraid. I was being tormented. I'm thinking, I paid to go here. What am I thinking? Guy walking around with a big snake around his shoulder outside while I'm standing in line. I mean, what am I thinking? I stood in line for hours, paid money to go to this thing. I begin to realize I'm trying to get fear out of me, not subject myself to things that can put fear in me. If you say to yourself today, well, I'm afraid all the time. Well, what are you watching? Where are you going? What are you listening to? These things can haunt us. To be honest with you, even though I do not believe that we can be haunted by a physical ghost, I do believe that our emotions and our experiences from the past are real. And if we're honest with ourselves, we would say that they can haunt us. They can keep us up at night. They can haunt us and cause unrest and a lack of peace in our life. In this series, we're going to focus on getting free from the past and from different emotions that we face so that we can begin to walk in the purpose and the plan or the destiny that God has for us. And this series is going to be key for you and I, and key for those in our community. That's why Vince was up here talking about inviting someone to church. Because the things we're going to be talking about throughout the month of October, I'm telling you, they're going to be relevant and engaging to people's lives. Because if you and I are bound or haunted by our past, or haunted by depression, or fear, or anxiety, or uncertainty, it hinders us from walking in God's plan for our life. These things debilitate us. These things keep us away from what God wants to do in our life. And today we're going to talk about and address really this big one called fear. The Bible actually calls it the spirit of fear. But let's start off with some good news. We all like good news, don't we? Let's lay a key foundation first. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 gives us some good news. God has not given us a spirit of fear. That means today if you're afraid, if you're fearful, if you find yourself with no rest, no peace, let me just be honest with you and tell you the truth, that's not from God. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but what does it say? But of love and of self-control, or some versions say self-discipline or sound mind. That's good news today. That what we're facing doesn't come from God, therefore what? You and I can be free from it. Psalm chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, what are we seeing here? We have this man David. David is fleeing from his son Absalom. Absalom is trying to overthrow David. He's trying to become the king. The thing I love about the book of Psalms, especially Psalm chapter 3, is these different chapters in Psalms are deeply emotional prayers. We might not understand that. They're not just songs, but they're prayers that men and women of God prayed. And here we have David pouring out his frustration, pouring out his anger, and talking to God of how afraid he is. He is not doing what we talked about last week, praying a polite prayer. Now, 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, I wasn't here last week. Talk about that next week, where I was. I got lost. What was I saying? Thank you. Thank you, Katie. You're with me, girl. He's not praying a polite prayer. David is keeping it real. Look at verse 7. I mean, it's written with an exclamation mark. God, hit the wicked in the mouth. You ever said that to the Lord? Probably not. Because we think we have to come to God with some written, nice, formal prayer. God wants you to pour out your emotions, pour out your feelings through Him, to Him. You see this all throughout the book of Psalms. See, friends, the Psalms give us a unique approach to dealing with our emotions or dealing with things that tend to haunt us. There are many ways to approach things that haunt us. One way is we can ignore it. You've probably tried that, and guess what? It doesn't work. Listen, if I yell and get loud today, I'm sorry. I'm not angry. I'm excited. Happy about this message. If you don't like it, I love it. I believe it's going to help us today. Ignoring what haunts us does not work. You can try to suppress it. It doesn't work either. Or some of us have just waved the white flag and surrendered over to it and just simply thought, I'm going to be like this all of my life. I'm never going to have rest. I'm never going to have peace. I'm going to battle this the rest of my life. Let me tell you something. The devil has lied to you. That is not what God promises. There is a better way. Here's what the Psalms teach us. This is amazing. The Psalms teach us, and specifically Psalm 3, that we should not be denying our emotions. We should not be suppressing them or venting them or allowing them to take over us, that we should be praying our emotions to God. Again, not praying them in a polite way, but pouring them out in front of God and being honest with what is going on inside of us. David here has something to be afraid of. You read this in 2 Samuel chapter 15 through chapter 18. He has an army of men that are out to destroy him, trying to take him out. And David is running for his life. But right in the middle of being haunted by fear, he makes a statement that I believe every single one of us desires to make. And that statement is found right there. I believe it's in verse 3. What does he say? I will not fear. I will not be afraid, or I will not fear. I believe all of us today desire not just to say this with our mouths, but to truly believe this deep down on the inside of us, that I will not fear, that no matter what is happening in my life now, what has happened in the past, or even my thoughts about the future, that I will not fear. Come on, let's just say that together this morning. I will not fear. Here we go. I will not fear. And it's just powerful just saying. This was David's statement. I will not fear. See, David has found a different way to deal with his fear. He is choosing to deal with it in a way that brings peace and comfort in his life so that he actually can move forward in what God has for him. What are we going to learn here today? What do we learn from Psalm 3? What do we learn when it comes to how to deal with fear so it no longer haunts us? Well, really, the first thing is found in the first two verses. David asks, how many are my foes? He asks many, he says, many are rising against me. And he goes on to say, not only are people after him, but others are making statements that are also causing him to fear. See in verse 2, people are saying, God's not going to deliver him. God's not going to save him. David's own son, Absalom, the one he trusted in, the one he could never imagine doing something like this, has started a coup and is trying to take David out. You can imagine the emotions going through David. His very life is on the line. He's afraid that he's going to be physically harmed. He's uncertain about the future, not just for himself, but also for his family, for his other children. Because what happens when a new king gets on the throne? If it's a bad king, guess what? He's going to take out anybody that's a threat to him. There's a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty in David's life. Many in this room, I believe, have been there a time or two, wondering, am I going to make it out of this? Bullets flying, bombs going off, chaos. Am I going to make it out of this? Many of you guys in this room can relate to David. See, David's not only a king, David's also a warrior. He knows what it's like to be in battle, wondering, am I going to make it out of this? Maybe it's not physical death that you fear, but wondering, am I going to get free from my past? Or is this depression, this anxiety, this fear that I face today because of my past, am I always going to live with it? Will I ever have peace? Will I ever have rest in my life? See, you may not have ever been in physical battle, but there's something going on inside. Voices you're hearing. And I'm speaking to somebody today. You also can relate to David. On top of being haunted by these feelings and having his life on the line, David's dealing with something else. People are saying something that David thought he would never hear concerning himself. He never thought or could imagine people asking the question, will God save him? I mean, this is a man that's supposed to be after God's own heart. This is a man who wrote a lot of the Psalms that we have here today. He never expected to hear people say, is God going to rescue him? Is God going to save him? Is God with him? Again, we have to remember that David is the king. God always protected the king. He protected the king if the king obeyed God. But this is the problem. The problem is David has made some mistakes in the past. Uh-oh. He found himself attracted to a woman that was taking a bath on a roof. Now, I don't know why she was up there, but she was up there. There you go. Maybe she was doing that. David sent somebody to get her. As David sent somebody, he should have said, hey, stop taking a bath on the roof. Go inside. But that's not what happened. David went and got her. Bathsheba. They end up getting pregnant. David tried to cover up his sin. What did he do? He brought his husband, her husband home, Uriah. Maybe if they get together. Soldiers, we know what it's like coming home, long deployment. Maybe if they get together, my sin will be covered. Here we have a man that's committed adultery. Here we have a man that's in a huge lie, trying to cover up his sin. It didn't work. Uriah was a soldier. Uriah stayed. He didn't go home. He stayed at the house of David. David gets upset. So what does David do? I got to cover it up. Has Uriah put on the front line so that Uriah could be killed. This is why David is beginning to hear the whispers. Will God deliver him? See, this is something David has actually heard before. But not concerning his own life, but concerning the king that he served. This is something that happened with King Saul. Because of Saul's disobedience, guess what happened? God left him. Now David is wondering, is this going to happen to me? David's very identity is being attacked. His calling, his character is put into question. This also is why David is afraid. People are saying, look at the terrible things David has done. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had her husband killed. Baby died. This man's not fit to be king. His actions, because of his actions, he has forfeited his right to be king. Can you imagine the voices, the whispers that David is hearing? Could you imagine what he's hearing in his head as well? Voices that are leading and causing a spirit of fear to rise inside of David. You know, what's being said about you today? What are you hearing that's trying to produce fear? Maybe it's a bad report from a doctor. Maybe it's things being said at your job. Maybe layoffs are coming. A transition's coming. Maybe it's something about your children. Maybe it's your children's grades or how they're acting at school. It could be anything. David's physical life and very identity is being attacked. But what does this teach us? What is Psalm 3 teaching us this morning? Man, this is so relevant and engaging for us today. See, the spirit of fear, and again, I'm not talking about a ghost when I say the spirit. Don't get confused. We believe in, yes, the Holy Ghost. That's what the King James Version uses. The Holy Spirit. But there is a spirit of fear that can be released into our life that binds us, that begins to control us, that begins to manipulate us, that begins to lie to us. And the spirit of fear leads to many other emotions manifesting in our life. Usually when you have the spirit of fear, anxiety begins to set in. You begin to feel threatened or haunted by what you are thinking about or hearing. Because of the spirit of fear, happiness erodes. Your health gets attacked. We find ourselves nervous. We find ourselves restless, agitated all the time about different situations. It causes exactly what KG talked about, ulcers, high blood pressure, stress. It causes us to wonder, what's going on? Come on, are we there today? Why do I feel this way? Why, when I wake up each day, I think the first thought that comes to my mind is something bad is going to happen today. Some of us in this room wake up every day wondering, is something bad? Is this it? Is something terrible going to happen to me today? Friends, I know I don't want to live like that, and I know you don't want to live like that. Thank God that there is a better way. What do? In verse 3, we find what defeats the spirit of fear so that it can no longer haunt you and I. And the first two words are vital. The first two words are important. David says, but you. Woo! But you. Now things are changing for David. The spirit of fear is rising on the inside of him, but David is remembering something. He says, but you. He's looking to someone who is greater than himself and someone who is greater than what he is going through. He's saying to God, you, God, are a shield about me or a shield around me. It's important that we understand. When David used the word about, what he's talking about is God is like a shield that is around us. See, friends, when you fight in battle, some of you guys know this, there's two kinds of shields. The first one for you, I have it on screen here, it's a round shield that you can actually put on your arm and that you can hold when you are fighting. My shield, Nicole, you got it up there for me, sweetie? Stop texting back there and pay attention. There you go. This shield puts, you place it on your arm. You guys have seen this before in movies that you have watched. Or if you like Captain America, you probably have a shield at home. Hopefully not as an adult. That would be weird, but that's all right. Sergio, you probably got one. You put that on your arm, and you can hold what? Your shield and your sword. This is a shield what? That you can take a blow and you can give a blow. But this is not the shield that David is talking about here. David is talking about a shield, not that we hold with our arm. Go ahead with the next one, Nicole. But a shield that actually goes around you and I. This is the kind of shield that David is talking about. This kind of shield is not for hand-to-hand combat, but this is a shield that is used to follow your general into the midst of danger to take a city. Here's the crazy thing about this shield, that this shield does not lead you away from danger, but this shield actually takes you into danger, into the fight. Uh-oh. This shield is only being used when you are advancing forward on purpose to take a city following your general. What is David telling us? David is saying, I'm afraid. David is saying, I'm nervous. David is saying, I am anxious. I know that fear is setting in, but notice what he's not saying. David is not saying, and this is key. David is not saying, I know that you, Lord, will not lead me into bad things happening to me. Uh-oh. Might mess up with your theology a little bit by that statement. I know, Lord, that you will not let bad things or lead me into something bad happening to me. This is not what David is saying. He is saying, I am scared, and you oftentimes lead me into danger despite my emotions. But as I go, I know what? That you are a shield about me. That you're with me, that you will protect me as I keep moving forward. See, friends, I can't promise you a happy-go-lucky life, that nothing's going to happen. God doesn't promise that. We live in a world of sin. We live in a world of darkness. We live in a world that people want to do bad things. I can't promise you that bad things are not going to happen. What I can promise you is that God is a shield and that He loves you and He is about you. He is around you. And as you move forward, following your general, Jesus Christ, into the battle, God promises to protect you, that you will make it. See, friends, because of the resurrection, death itself does not have power over us. Even if I physically die, baby, I still win. That's the good news that we have today. Cancer can't take me out. Blood pressure can't take me out. Heart disease, leukemia, whatever you may face. It may kill my body, but it cannot ultimately kill me because I'll live forever because my Jesus lives forever. Come on, let's give God a hand clap for that. That's exciting. But here's the thing. David is being honest with us. He's telling us that this only works as I walk into the fight and not away from it. It only works as I obey God, trust Him, and move forward into the fight. I know that no matter what happens to me, He's going to protect me. It's a promise that He is our shield. He is about us. What other option do we have? The only other option we have is to disobey Him and run from Him. But the problem of running from Him is what? There is nothing to protect me. If I am in a physical battle, and I got my shield, and I'm moving that way, and I decide, uh-oh, I'm scared to death, and I run over here, my back is exposed. And it's the same, friends, following God. If you turn your back on Him, it's not that He doesn't have the power to protect you. It's that you have gotten your eyes off of Him because you're going the wrong direction. God has given you a shield about you for a reason. That is to move into the fight. So what is your fight today? What is it? Is it fear? Is it worry? Is it anxiety? Is it your marriage? Is it your money situation? I don't know what it is. But I'm telling you, He's not calling you to run from it. He's calling you to run into it. David's telling us God's protection works as we go forward. And David is discovering what we all want to discover. That his identity, see, David had got wrapped up in being this king. To be honest with you, we all probably would have too. Because the king comes with a lot of perks. A lot. He thinks he's the man. He got wrapped up. He's beginning to find his identity in other things. The position that he held. Who he was as a warrior, as a king. But what he's discovering is that God, his identity is found in what God thinks about him and not what he thinks about himself or who others think he is. Because what's happening, again, all of this is beginning to be eroded away. He's running from his life. The kingship is being possibly taken from him. People are saying things about him. Everything he had built his life on is being removed from him. And he's discovering my identity. Who I am is not found in what I do or what I have. This is why he said, God is my glory and the lifter of my head. David is discovering that he has a past. People are saying bad things, but he knows deep down inside, God is for me. If no one else is proud of me, God is proud of me. Now, I don't know about you, but that begs the question, how in the world could David say this or begin to think this? Again, he's a man that committed adultery. He's a man that murdered someone. He's a bad parent. His son is trying to take his throne. How could David have the audacity to say that God is proud of him? Wouldn't you want to know if God is proud of you? Wouldn't you want to know that even though you may be battling fear, something's haunting you, you have a past, all that stuff, wouldn't it be great to know that amongst all of that, God is still for me? Wouldn't it be great to know that you're moving in the right direction, that you hadn't gotten off course? I believe all of us desire to say what David said, God, you're proud of me. Jesse, you can come on up. How can David, who has failed God, know that God and be certain that God is proud of him? It's really found in verse 4. David cried out to God, and the Bible says that God answered him from his holy hill. Now, you have to know your Bible a little bit to understand this. What David is talking about when he uses the word holy hill, what David is talking about is the place of sacrifice. The place of sacrifice. And verse 3 points to that sacrifice when David uses that word shield to describe God's protection. And this gets us to Genesis chapter 15. Because this word shield that David uses, more than likely, David was thinking about Abraham. David knew about Abraham. David knew about the promises that were made to Abraham, the statements that were made to him. And as we read Genesis 15, we actually saw some of the same words we saw in Psalm chapter 3. You see the word God coming to Abraham and saying what? Fear not. For I am your what? I am your shield. I am your great reward. Abraham, like David, is afraid. But God shows up and gives Abraham a promise. David knows the story of Abraham. He's thinking about this. Abraham ends up asking, if you read that chapter there, 15, the very same question David asked. Genesis 15:8. God, how do I know? What a great question. I like guarantees. You like guarantees? It's why I don't gamble. You're not going to find me in Vegas or at the casino. It's not a guarantee. I like guarantees. I like to know for certain, is that possible for me? It's what Abraham and David asked. God's response to Abraham was, I'm going to show you that I'm a guarantee. go to sleep. As Abraham fell asleep, the Bible says that deep darkness Abraham began to feel. Abraham began to witness this sacrifice in this dream that he was having. There was animals being cut up. Now, as Abraham is experiencing this, Abraham knows exactly what is happening. Because again, he's seen this before. Back in those days, when you were going to make a vow or make a promise to someone or a contract to someone, blood was shed. And the reason why is because if you were saying that I am not going to uphold by this contract, if I'm not going to hold my vow, so shall I be just like this dead animal. Let these curses come upon me. So Abraham knows, oh man, a contract's being made. I am making a vow to God. But here's what's amazing. As Abraham is sleeping with these thoughts and I'm about to make a vow to God, guess what God the Father does? The Bible says that the animals were laying there and there was a smoking torch walking through the animals. See, it wasn't that Abraham was making a vow to God. It was God was making a vow to Abraham. He's telling Abraham, Abraham, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to disobey me. You're going to do things that are going to cause me to separate from you because of your sin. But I'm giving you a guarantee. I love you. I'm for you. You're not making a covenant to me. I am making a covenant to you. If I break my covenant, so shall I be. I am willing to take the curse on. I'm willing to take your disobedience, Abraham. That's good news. My promise will be fulfilled in your life. Pastor Richard, come on up here. I'm telling you guys, you and I, we have better resources than Abraham or David ever even thought about having. You know why? Because we have Jesus. Jesus didn't walk through the sacrifice. Jesus became the sacrifice to you and I. Jesus Christ, friends, is a promise to you and I that God is your shield, that He is about you, He is around you, and that no matter what you face, no matter what tries to haunt you, that His promises will come to pass if we keep moving into the fight. God's not going to give up on you, so guess what? You cannot give up on Him. We have to set our faces like flint upon Him and keep moving forward. Jesus gives us the grace and the power to do so. This is why 2 Timothy tells us again, God has not given you, or Jesus has not given you the spirit of fear. See, a lot of us think when we use the word fear, you think to yourself, well, okay, if I don't have the spirit of fear, then the opposite of fear is what? Faith, so I must have the spirit of faith. But He doesn't say that. The Bible says He doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and of love. The Word also says that perfect love casts out all fear. Why doesn't it say, if faith is the opposite of fear, why does it not say perfect faith casts out all fear? Thank God it doesn't say that, because none of us has the ability to have perfect faith. But because of what Christ has done, we can have perfect love. Because of what Christ has done, you and I can possess perfect love. And it's the love of Christ that gives us the power to say no to fear, power to say no to anxiety, power to say no matter what is haunting you and I, it's His love living down on the inside of us. Amen. Not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power to live for Him, love, and a sound mind. Father, we thank You for